I went back to the same old things that I'd been doing in the past, you know, and that got me in trouble. I went back to partying again. You know, I didn't really learn my lesson in prison. In fact, it hardened me. And my drunkenness, my alcohol was my god. I had broken relationship, jobs. Couldn't hold a job. My health wasn't good. All I lived for was myself, and I didn't care if I lived or died.
Stai Gute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Do you know anyone like this? Someone who seems too far gone? Today we'll be reminded that no one is beyond the reach of God. Join us now for part two of Julius Tuhart's story.
After they wouldn't let me out of jail for 7 days, it hurted me, and that's where I really became. I believe that was a turning point where I want to get even with society. I want to get even with it. I want to rebel against any kind of authority or law. And as I grew older at that time, it just kept growing stronger and stronger. I was rebellious, always in fights, stealing, and in and out of jail after that, until the time finally. When I was a teenager in high school, I planned that, I would resist arrest when a police officer came, and that night at the party, the cops came to pick us up, and I ran, and when they finally caught me, I turned around, fought back, and assaulted the police officer, and I hit him. He didn't know I had something in my hand. I hit him on the head and cut him, and the next day I woke up in jail, and they said that I was charged with assaulting, you know, and I was in big trouble. And I eventually went to prison for that. I sent to a federal reformatory prison in El Reno, Oklahoma for 18 months. And, I was warned while I sat in jail that it was a pretty rough place. And I knew it, you know. And when I got there, and there were other Native Americans there that talked to us right away, and I found a lot of things that I had to be aware of when I got to prison, that I shouldn't show my weakness physically, emotionally, or whatever, because I'd be taken advantage of. The prison life is a pretty rough life. I showed my weakness once, and I got pushed around, and I was hurting. I was really hurting when I got to prison, because I never was locked up so long. I mean, I knew it was going to be a long time there, but I was pretty lonely and hurting, but there was nothing I could do, you know, and I just had to do my time, and I didn't have no spiritual life. And then when it came close for my time to be released, man, I was happy. But I had to be careful, because when you're sitting in prison, when other people find out you're getting released, well, some people, if they don't like you, they're jealous. Well, they're going to try something. They're going to try to mess up your life, you know, physically, you know. But I made it out of there. I was glad when my release date came, when I got out of there. It was a big relief, you know. I said I would never go back to prison, you know. I didn't like that life. I know I made a promise to myself that as far as I knew, I didn't want to ever, hopefully I never go back to prison. Well, when I got out of prison, I just went back to my reservation, and I went back to the same old things that I'd been doing in the past, you know, and that got me in trouble. I went back to partying again. You know, I didn't really learn my lesson in prison. In fact, it hardened me. And my drunkenness, my alcohol was my god. I had broken relationship, jobs. Couldn't hold a job. My health wasn't good. All I lived for was myself, and I didn't care if I lived or died. Many times I could have got beaten to death in fights, you know, and I remember an incident in a bar where a guy held a knife to my throat in a fight, you know, and I was real suicidal, depressive, and I ended up in a psych ward a few times, and because of my suicidal tendencies when I was drunk, And after that, I just kind of started getting institutionalized. I was in and out of treatment centers, halfway houses. I was there, and I was always putting my life in jeopardy when I drunk and driving, and I've been quite a few car accidents where I was fortunate to be alive, they told me, and I was just laughing inside. It didn't mean nothing. I didn't believe in native religion or spirituality. I didn't believe in... I went to Catholic school for 8 years, and I didn't really believe in heaven or hell, you know. I guess I had my doubts because my grandparents told me that Native Americans would go to a place all by themselves, just the Indians. They call it the Happy Hunting Grounds, where the natives would go back to their old way of living. And well, that didn't really click with me. I kind of believed it. Then again, I didn't believe it, you know. So I was just, I guess you could say I didn't believe in anything. I mean, there was a time in my life where I just believed that I wouldn't exist no more. When I died, that's it, you know. Well, that's where I was living my life, because I wasn't afraid to die, because I didn't like my life. I mean, I didn't like my lifestyle, where it was leading me. One day I was running around. I always have a tendency to go hide and drink. Well, I was in Jamestown, North Dakota, and I went underneath this bridge I used to go underneath there where I get out of sight from people or if I was hiding. I went down there and I was drinking my bottle of alcohol, and I was sitting there, and a guy walks underneath this bridge. He was about 6 foot something, a big muscular man, and I'm sitting there and I look up at him, and he looks at me and he says, hello, and I ask him my name, and I told him. And we're talking, and he says that Jesus has a plan for my life, you know, and I just didn't really understand where he is coming from, you know, and then he started witnessing to me about salvation, about Jesus dying for my sins on the cross, you know, and he was a Christian man, and I didn't really, at that time, I didn't understand Christianity or anything, yeah. So then he gives me his, phone number and tells me to call him anytime I want in Jamestown if I'm around there, that he would be willing to help me out anyway, in any way, situation. And he always emphasized that I needed to give my heart to the Lord, and that didn't really go well with me because I wasn't in no situation to do that. I mean, because I didn't understand what spirituality, I thought it was only for good people. Well, within 2 years, every place I went, within that 2 years, I was witnessed to by Christian people. And they would always ask me my name, and they would say they'll pray for me, and they'll say that I needed to be saved. And I was always rebelling and resisting at the time. You know, I didn't really believe in it. After 2 years, a man found out, he heard about me. A Christian man owned a Christian ranch called Crossroads Range. It was up... probably northeastern part of North Dakota, close to the Canadian border, called St. John's, North Dakota. This man that ran it, the guy who ran it, had a horse stable there, riding horses. And he heard about me through, I don't know how he heard about me, but he got me a bus ticket from Jamestown, North Dakota, up north. So I went up and he said all I need to do was be willing to go to Bible study, to the prayer meetings, and to church on Sundays. And he took me in and gave me a place to stay. It was in the winter, January, cold out. And so I went up there, you know, I sobered up and went up there. He got me a ticket and I went up there. Everyone there were mostly all born-again Christians, you know, young college couples and married couples. I don't know, I worked there, I did maintenance work, I did logging on that ranch, and I helped take care of the horses, went on trail rides, And different people came there every month. They had retreats for Christian get-togethers. So I met a lot of people, interesting people, who would always witness to me. They would always ask me if I was saved, and I'd say no. And they'll say, well, don't you think it's time? And I would resist it. I would just to change the subject or walk away from the people. And that summer, I got drunk again. I took off, and I took a guy's pickup and got drunk, and came back and, well, I got a DUI that summer out there, and I went to jail for about 15 days. And then these college kids came to see me while I was sitting in jail, and they wanted to pray for me while, because I still wasn't a Christian. And I don't know, it started getting to me because I could see the difference. There was something about them that was different, you know, that the love of God is showing through. There was something about them that was finally getting to me. God is finally breaking through this wall of hardness in me, because I was really rebellious and hard. And my understanding is, all this time these people are witnessing to me and telling me Jesus loved me well. They explained to me that then I started finally understanding what they meant, and they told me that Jesus came here and died for sinners. You know, he died on the cross because of the human race, because rebellion and sin, that we needed a savior, we needed a spiritual life, we needed to be born again spiritually. And that was one thing I had a hard time understanding when they said I need to be born again. And they said in the Bible says it. And that's when the Lord opened up my eyes to that that's what it meant, that I needed to be born again, and because I was lost, you know, I was lost and I needed salvation, and Jesus provided that when he came to earth and died on the cross for our sins. And I don't know, that year, September, Labor Day weekend, Larry Lunsom Crusade was up there in that chapel, and that night when they gave the message of salvation, I was all torn up. I was really hurting that night. And I knew that when they gave the message of salvation that I needed it, and there was no doubt I would accept it. You know, I went up there and accepted the Lord, you know. The Spirit of God is really moving, because in my past, I've been resisting the Lord, and that night, for some reason, I mean, no, there's no doubt about it. It was God's timing, you know, that I walked up there and accepted the Lord, you know. I meant it in my heart. I was serious. I knew if I died, I wasn't assured of going anywhere. And the Lord convicted me that night that was the only way, salvation. The Bible, the Word of God says in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That was what I believed. I mean, that's what I did at the crusade. I accepted that truth.
Are you tired of doing things your way? Are you ready to come to God on his terms? That's the only way we will ever have peace with him. On the day you stand before God, you will either be terrified or relieved. Terrified because you rejected him, or relieved because you had humbled yourself and accepted God's way for your sins to be forgiven. That way is through his Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins and was raised from the dead so that you could live. Don't reject God's offer. Put your trust in Jesus and you will be ready to meet your Maker. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Interested in what you've heard? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take the Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there's more to the story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.